All right. I assume we are all back on. It says not present for a second on that end, Kelly, but as soon as everyone hits the one button, it'll show that everyone is present again.
Yep, we just have a couple to go.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Well, let me tell you where I am and what's happening today. This is Trina Gray calling in from what is normally sunny San Diego, but it is pretty overcast and cloudy today. That's okay. It's still probably 30 degrees warmer here than it is in Michigan. Kelly's in Michigan at the Athletic Club at the home office there. She is dialing in on the call from Michigan and hitting record for us, so we have a copy of this call later. Kelly won't be on the whole time with us. She's heading to a Corporate Fit Challenge finale. They're doing one at noontime, at lunchtime, at home base. So I'm on the line today. My plan for today is amazing. If you saw the email that I sent out last night, I am at a seminar, a pretty exclusive seminar, a small number of people, called the World's Greatest Speaker Training. World's Greatest Speaker Training. It is being hosted by Brendon Burchard. If you haven't heard of him, a lot of people haven't. He is an up-and-coming expert in the expert industry, teaching other people how to become experts in their field, how to be known, how to be heard, how to get your message out there. So it is relevant to all different professionals, especially entrepreneurs of any kind. And I made the big, huge leap of an investment just last week, 1 week ago, and dropped $3,000 plus a flight, plus hotel, plus time away from the office to be at this event because I had this gut feeling that this is where I needed to be this week. So day one did not disappoint. What I'm going to do is share some of the tips that I learned at this exclusive training yesterday, teaching people how to get their message out there, whether it's on corporate fitness, health, whether the guy next to me is a dentist, the lady down from me is an actress, there's a gentleman here who's a priest. Everyone has a message. Everyone needs to be heard, and they are teaching us the tricks of the trade. So I'm going to go over some of my top notes from that today. I love sharing things outside of just the Corporate Fit Challenge with this Fast Track because I want us to be amazing individuals, amazing professionals, amazing leaders in whatever we do, and that'll carry over certainly into the Corporate Fit. So after I do a presentation, I'll predict 20 minutes. I will have Kelly unmute the lines, hopefully not a lot of background noise today, and we'll go around and do a round table. You can introduce again and tell us what you've got going on right now with the Corporate Fit. If you were on just to listen and observe today and you do not want to contribute, you do not have to contribute, but I always welcome to hear what you're doing, and people are inspired by other people's successes and they are comforted by other people's struggles. So whatever you have to share today, I'm sure is just what needs to be shared. So let me tell you a little bit about the highlight for me of yesterday's seminar, the World's Greatest Speaker Training. We were finishing up about 9:45 last night. We've been going for 13 hours. We were finishing up about 9:45 last night. And Brendon Burchard and the two gentlemen he has leading the seminar with him, Roger Love, who's a well-known vocal coach, and Bo Eason, who's a former NFL player, a safety, who turned into an actor and screenwriter on Broadway. They are the other two people leading the seminar. At the end of the night, when I truly believe they must have been exhausted from delivering 13 hours straight, they got up on the stage, and they opened up the mic to Q&A, and they said they would stay until the last question was asked. That is delivering. That is energy, people. That was inspiring. Let me point out that the keynote, Brendon Burchard, the gentleman hosting the event, was in a major accident in Mexico just 5 days ago. He had broken ribs on one whole side of his body, a ripped groin, a broken wrist, and he delivered for 13 hours yesterday in full presence, in full energy mode. The guy is literally the pinnacle. So at the end of the night, I was the first person to get to the microphone. Don't be surprised. I had a burning question that I had to ask them. So I got to the microphone and I introduced myself and where I'm from. And I said, I really would love to know if you would give us a sneak peek inside your daily habits. What are the daily habits that you believe make you successful? They didn't. Brendon Burchard, a young 34, 35-year-old gentleman now making, has a $6 million business in the past 2 years, didn't get to where he was overnight, but he got there so quickly. I wanted to know what his daily habits were. So I'm going to talk you through this. I thought it was fascinating. It's not what I do. I'm sure it's not what you do, but can we learn something from it? He wakes up every morning at the same time. I believe he said it was 6 a.m. exactly, and he has 2 full glasses of ice water right away in the morning. Then, without another thought, he straps on his tennis shoes and he walks outside, and he goes for a 30-minute walk out in nature, no matter what the weather, no matter what the conditions. And he says he has a completely clean slate, a completely clean slate in his mind that he envisions, as I've heard this analogy before, that on his walk, he's actually rowing down a river. And as things pass by him, as thoughts come into his head, he just dismisses them like he's passing them in his canoe on a river. He doesn't let anything clutter his mind. He stays 100% present in the moment on that walk, clearing his mind completely, not focused on what's in front of him today, just focused on what it feels like to be out in nature with a clear head. 30 minutes. He comes home, he makes himself a healthy shake every morning. He makes it with all different greens, just a healthy, all-natural shake. Then he hits his office, and listen to this, all of us, all professionals, all entrepreneurs on the phone, the first thing he does in his office is not turn on his computer, is not to go to his social media or his email. In fact, he doesn't touch his email for another hour after that and actually doesn't delve into it for another 5 hours. Let me explain. He said he found that checking email first thing was just being a prisoner to other people's agendas, what other people need from him or want from him or need him to do or a question they have for their personal agenda. He said that killed his entrepreneurial spirit. He said he'd find that he'd just get back from this amazing walk. He'd be clear-headed and ready to tackle a day was the word he used. And then he'd open his email and he'd be in a slump of 150 new emails sitting in his inbox from the night before. In the past 12 hours, another 100 emails. Even for you, if it's 10 or 15 or 20 new emails, those are other people's agendas. Now, he said unless you're working in the realm of customer service, you don't need to be attentive to other people's emails, certainly first thing in the morning. He said that killed his entrepreneurial spirit. He says he takes out a blank sheet of white paper, and he does 3 rows across. At the top, he writes what are his big picture projects. Where is he going in his next 6 to 12 months? Is it a new seminar he's creating? Is it a new teleseminar, a live seminar? Is it a new coaching program? Is it a new mentorship? Is it a mastermind? What is it, a book? What is it that he's got big picture? Amazingly, top of the page, he writes a line underneath that. In his next row, he makes 2 columns. On the left, he writes, who am I waiting to hear from? Who am I waiting to hear from on any projects I've got going right now? And the second column, who do I need to reach out to? So for us, who do I need to hear from? If you are working on a corporate fit and you have put calls out to 6 places, if you've put the word out to 3 of your most raving client fans, who have you not heard from yet? Write their names down and what you're waiting to hear on. In that second column, who do I need to reach out to? If he knows if he wants to create a partnership, he knows he needs to reach out to that other person, and he's going to put that on his list that day. For us, if you know that you want to start more momentum in your business, who do you need to reach out to partner with? What raving clients do you need to reconnect with? What businesses do you need to call and find a time to stop in? Who do you need to talk to? You make those 2 lines. 2 columns. The next row underneath, the last row, priorities. On a scale of numbering 1 through 10, He averages about 5 a day. What 5 things must happen today to move myself forward? What 5 things must happen today to move myself forward? And he finishes that list, that list of 5 to 10 things, whether it's writing an article, writing a blog, reaching out to somebody, waiting to hear from somebody, reaching out to them again, making that contact, writing your list of ideas, writing out your new client program, writing up what you're going to say in your corporate fit presentation, writing out what you think those Sunday workouts are going to be, writing out an email to the staff and inviting them to participate. What things must happen that day? He gets those things done before lunch. Before lunch, he says he will not leave his office for lunch until he has his entire to-do list completed for the day. He says he usually finishes that up by 1 o'clock, and he made a joke that at that point he's just so hungry, he gets it done. At that point, he has lunch, and then he has, or maybe it's lunch and a workout. I don't know which one's first. I assume he has a light lunch and then a workout after that. So after lunch, he has a workout. He comes back to the office in the afternoon. He said he's been off for about an hour and a half or two. Comes back in the afternoon, and he bangs out emails until the box, his inbox is empty every single day. He either reads the email and deletes it. He reads the email and replies to it. He reads the email and he forwards it on to somebody in his organization, and he just has a small organization, a small team of people. He really is very much a one-man show. He forwards it on if appropriate, or he files it into a subfolder for future reference, but it is empty at the end of the day. At that point, he connects with his wife who, when she comes home from work, and guess what his wife does? Hats off, big cheers here. She runs a health club. She runs a training studio. I believe it's in Portland. I can't wait to meet her. I heard she's here. Anyway, he says he takes that time to check out of his office, to check in with his wife, to actually have a conversation about their day, to reconnect, and then they both go their separate directions before dinner. He gets back on the computer. He has coaching sessions, client calls, things like that in the evening that he must do. He finishes knowing that he has been 100% efficient and effective in that day. He says he goes through the roof with levels of joy and good energy because he knows he's accomplished what he needed to accomplish that day, and he sleeps soundly. Doesn't that sound like an amazing day to you? Now, I know all of us are thinking, oh, I see, I have more clients, I've got kids, I've got these other responsibilities, I've got sessions, I've got classes, I've got customers, clients, patients, I've got all these things interrupt my day, that take up my day. Yes, absolutely. Most of us are still very much in the trenches, in the daily grind, delivering our services. However, we all have the same amount of hours in the day. Could you be more efficient? Could you not get sucked into email in the morning? Could you delete ones that are just distracting you? Could you just reply and get it done? Could you look at the emails and figure out which ones fit into your big picture projects? Address those first. Which ones have no bearing on what you're doing? Delete those. File them for a future day when you have lots of time to kill. All right? It's amazing how our daily habits create such amazing momentum and success. The one thing that all three of these gentlemen, Brendan, Bo, and Roger, all three had in common, they all referenced healthy eating, exercise, and time with family. Healthy eating, exercise, time with family. I'm sorry, the fourth thing they all had in common was writing or journaling. These are things that these gentlemen, top of their game entrepreneurs around the country, are doing every day. Eating healthy, exercising, whether it's, Brendan said that sometimes it's 15 minutes of all stretching. Sometimes it's just sitting in meditation and that early morning walk he does. He says not always incredibly physical, is just always 100% present when he's doing it. They all have some level of exercise. They are all focused on fueling their bodies with the right food to be able to sustain the level of energy they need to do what they do. They all talked about carving out that time with family, that there's nothing happening at the office at that moment that is more important than either welcoming the kids in the morning and them off to school, or welcoming spouse when they come home, or whatever it may be for you. And they said that every single day, without fail, they are writing, whether it's they're writing about their big picture projects, they're writing their priority list for the day, they're journaling about their day, they're journaling about where they want to go. There is some level of writing every single day. In fact, Bo Eason, the former NFL player who's now an actor on stage on Broadway, right, was at a point in his life where he was forcing himself to write 3 hours every day, uninterrupted 3 hours. He said he would drag himself to the table and open up this blank journal and force himself to share and to give his message and to create a story for the course of 3 hours every day. These people are one word to me. They are high performers. They are high performers, and there's no better people that you or I could learn from than high performers. What are the kinds of things that they do that we can do in our own way, in our own style, with our own authenticity? The last thing I'm going to share, and I'll open up the lines to you, is that at the beginning of the day, yesterday morning, there's lots of excitement and energy in the room. Brendan said to all of us, listen, my strategy in a seminar is to give gold, is to hit you with gold at the beginning of the day, so that if you had to leave at lunch today and not come back, the material you learned from us this morning will change your life. That's a pretty powerful statement to put out there in the first 5 minutes of the event. So I'm going to tell you quickly what Bo and what Brendan both shared are their top three tips for success in sharing your message. And listen, I know some of you on the line are thinking, oh, I don't really share a message. I train people. I see patients. I see clients. Not true. I know we all know that we have one of the most, if not the most valuable messages in the world, and that is taking care of our bodies, taking care of our lives means living a better life. What is more important than that? We teach people to love their bodies, to treat them well, to exercise, to fuel their bodies with good food, to be aware of their bodies, to want to get away aches and pains, and to live in full presence. That is an amazing message that we have, and you must be sharing that. Brendan talked about you don't need to be literally up on a stage as a public speaker to share your message. The world is your stage. Your clients, your clinics, your studios, your clubs, your online virtual clients, anybody you work with, that is your stage. Are you on? Are you 100% delivering and in your message? Bo talked about the key to any message, whether you're talking about health and fitness or what you're, if you're talking about personal development, whatever it is, the key to your message is your story. He said the keys to the kingdom, the golden goose, are your story. The more personal you make it, the more universal it becomes. I'm going to say that one again. It's worth writing. The more personal you make it, the more universal it becomes. That means we all can relate on a deeper level, a personal level, about fears that we've had, about failures that we've had, about the time in our life when we were down and depressed and fitness brought us back, or the time in our life that we were wandering and being around a group of supportive, forward-thinking people brought us back. You can share this with your clients. You can share this in your corporate fit presentations. You can talk about the client who had no confidence, who was struggling in her marriage and found you and found fitness. The more personal you make it, the more universal it becomes. Bo talked about cut to the chase now. If you're presenting, if you're talking to your clients, if you're talking about corporate fit, I have to say I feel like this is something I've coached on before. I felt good that he reiterated this. Don't get into all the details. Don't get into all the logistics. Cut to the chase. If you walk in to a room of 3 people, 30 people, 300 people, and you want them to work with you, don't spend the whole time telling them your resume. They don't care. They don't care. What they do care about is what you are going to give to them. How are you going to improve their life? You have to cut to the chase. You have to say, are you struggling in your relationships? Do you dread getting dressed in the morning? Do you wake up with aches every day frustrated? I am here to help. I have felt your pain. I have seen your pain in clients who I've worked with. I am here to help. All right. So I loved that from Bo. He said the story is key. Make it personal so it is universal. Cut to the chase now. People decide within the first 2 minutes of hearing you if they want to do business with you. People decide in the first 2 minutes of seeing the opening reels of a movie if they want to see that movie. Cut to the chase now. Bo talked about physicality and that as fitness professionals, I really feel like we have an edge on this. He was up on stage and he said most people hide behind a podium or most people hide, maybe in our industry, it's people hiding behind their clipboard and not being fully present with the people they're with. He said it's a lost art, physicality. He said, but people believe your body more than they believe your face. They believe your body. They believe your openness. They believe how you're moving and expressing yourself in front of a group or in front of a client. Are you open and engaged, or are you hiding? I found it amazing that none of these gentlemen in 13 hours yesterday used a single note, used a single slide, had a podium, nothing. They're talking from their heart. They're listening to their intuition, and they're being guided to where the audience needs to go. You can do that. You can do that on the corporate fit. I saw an email from Sharon yesterday saying that she couldn't believe how much easier it was to talk about this program. If you really just boil it down to what promise are we making to people, we're making the promise of a better life. It's so simple. Be fully present. Walk into that room and be generous with your spirit. And that's the third thing that Bo talked about. Your income is equivalent to your generosity. Isn't that an amazing thought? And he said, I don't mean generosity like you think you're a great tipper. I don't mean generosity in that you gave $100 to your church on Sunday. I mean generosity in the art of giving yourself up to help others, to putting yourself more at risk to help others. He talked about people who have a message to share are like warriors. They're people who are willing to overcome. People's number one fear in the world is speaking in public. Their number two fear is dying. Well, how lucky we are to be in health and fitness. We have a message. We are willing to share it. And we help people every single day. Be generous with your giving. Be generous with your spirit. Don't worry if they're closing the sale. Don't worry if they're doing business with you. You are there to give and to share. And if people see that and feel that, they will want to follow you. Brendan's three tips at the beginning of the day, I'll quickly go through them. His were manage your presence, be in the now. If you're with a one-on-one client or a patient, be with that patient or client 100%. 100% be with the person you're with. If you're with your family, be 100% with your kids, with your spouse. Phone off, computer away, 100%. If you're with your clients, you are 100% listening to their story. If you're at a business talking about the corporate challenge, you are 100% in that business. You're not worried about what's happening back at the office. You're not worried about what's going on outside of there. You're worried about where you are right then. Live in the now. Live in your presence. Manage your emotions. Manage the emotions of those you're talking to. I covered this earlier when I said you have to get to people's emotions. In corporate fit, I have to say that's one theme that I feel like we have covered. For those of you who've been with me on this for more than a year, I say getting to people's emotions is probably my number one message in terms of promoting or, quote, selling the corporate challenge. Again, not logistics, getting to the emotion of it. And then Brendan's third tip on being successful as an entrepreneur and successful in sharing your message is don't forget you have to actually manage the business. You have to collect leads. You have to create a list. You have to create raving fans. You have to convert them into clients. All of us are good at some of these things. None of us mastered them all. But if we know what we have to do, isn't that just reassuring? You must, if you want to grow your corporate fit program, you must sit down and make a list of those raving fans that you have. You must reach out to them by email, by phone call, in person. You must be willing to get to that workplace and personally invite them into this journey with you. You must be willing to get out of your shell and say, hey, I don't exactly know how I'm going to do this, but I know I'm going to get there and I'm going to have support along the way. You must manage the business. You can have the greatest message in the world, and if you don't have the business set up properly, it will fail. And I know all of us as entrepreneurs and business owners know the importance of managing the business. Whew! I hope that was some great, fun information for you guys. I hope you can tell I'm excited to share it. Amazing information, and I will continue to download it on you through the listserv or on another call. I do want to hear from you, so I'm going to have Kelly unmute the lines. I'm hoping for not too much background noise today, and then we'll go around and hear from you. So, Kelly, go ahead and unmute if you're there. Hello?
Hello?
Yay, we're there. Awesome. Kelly, are you still on?
Okay.
All right. Kelly, are you still on?
Yes, I am.
Kelly, really quickly before you take off for that finale, can you just run down the list of area codes for me so I can call on people?
Okay. We have 206.
206?
Yep. 225.
Kelly,
what's that?
A little louder.
Okay. 225 was the last one.
Okay.
410.
Okay.
979.
Hey, you guys, there's so much background noise. There's so much background noise. It's so difficult. You guys, if you're not in a quiet place right now, can you please mute yourself? Okay, Kelly, up to 979.
And then there's 225.
Okay.
225 again.
Okay.
206.
Okay.
406. 978.
Okay.
616.
Okay.
301. 573.
All right.
615. 410.
All right.
262.
Okay. Hi, Doug.
And 510.
Okay, Kelly, thank you so much. Kelly, I'm going to let you stop the recording so you can take off. We don't need to record the questions.
Okay.
Then you can hit end recording, and then I'll do the Q&A.
Okay, great. Talk to you, Nando. It was really enjoyable.